welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to invite you now, if you will, to open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be in beginning in verse 6. I'm going to do a little bit of a review because it's been 3 weeks since we've been in Galatians together. But in Galatians chapter 3, where we are jumping back into as a church family, Paul has been writing to a church that he helped start on his first missionary journey. And after he moved on, some Jewish leaders from Jerusalem, we think, came into the region to correct the gospel according to Paul. And they just had a deep problem with Paul telling people that if they simply trusted in Jesus Christ, they repented of their sins, that God would welcome them into the people of God, that God would save them and essentially adopt them into the family. It was outrageous to a Jew because they had grown up studying the scriptures. They'd grown up under the old covenant, and they couldn't understand that God had started a brand new covenant in Jesus that nullified parts of the old covenant. And so the reality for these Jews is they couldn't understand how all of these non-Jews could be welcomed into the kingdom of God without also having to obey all of the Old Testament laws, specifically laws that made them distinctively Jewish, like circumcision. And so they came into Galatia after Paul left and saying, well, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah, but you still have to do all of these things in order to be saved. You have to do all these things to please God. And so Paul gets a whiff of this, and Paul writes Galatians, the letter of Galatians, back to these churches to correct their erroneous teachings and also to confront them. So we've been covering all of this. And a couple of weeks ago when we wrapped up in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, one of the things that I mentioned then that the J.B. Phillips translation of the first three verses of Galatians chapters 3 is incredibly significant. Let me share that with you. J.B. Phillips says this, "Oh, you dear idiots of Galatia, who saw Jesus Christ the crucified so plainly, who has been casting a spell over you? I will ask you one simple question. Did you receive the Spirit of God by trying to keep the law or by believing the message of the gospel? Surely you can't be so idiotic as to think that a man begins his spiritual life in the Spirit and then completes it by reverting to outward observances." So I think that's a pretty good translation in the vernacular of what Paul was trying to communicate to the Galatians. He's basically saying, you guys are foolish. You're stupid. And so in the last message we looked at, we talked about Christian stupidity that would seek to please God by our external performance rather than our hearts of faith and love towards King Jesus. In fact, Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 15, that if you love me, you will obey my teachings. And so it's very important for us to understand that the relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ is a relationship that's based completely and totally and fully on love. It's important to understand who loved who first. God loved us first. God loved the world so much that he sent his son. And then what he asked from us, what he wants from us, is he wants us to trust in the sacrifice of his son as being sufficient to pay for our sins and to give our life totally in faith to Jesus, loving the Father through our relationship with Jesus. And so this relationship is based completely on love. The love of the Father for us by sending his son and the love of us for Jesus and for the Father, for what they've done. And so all of our Christian experience is based on this love relationship. It's not based on external performance, behavior, ritual, religion. It's based on this relationship of helpless, God-glorifying love where we live in a spirit of gratitude and humility before the God who loved us so much that He forgave us of our sins in Christ on the cross. That's what we just completed celebrating in Passion Week, as we celebrate the fact that Jesus came and He willingly went to the cross, taking my sins and your sins upon Himself. He took our sins away from us, and for anybody that would trust, have faith in Christ and what He's done on the cross, they might receive eternal life forever and be secure in their relationship with Him. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we talked about 3 weeks ago how Paul asked 7 questions, just back to back to back to back to back, just firing off these questions. But essentially what Paul was attempting to do is he's trying to show the Galatians through logic, how did you guys become a Christian? How did the Holy Spirit come and dwell within you? Was it because of your rigorous obedience? And was it because of your works and your activities? Or did the Holy Spirit come and live within you because you gave your life in faith to Jesus? And so the answer to all of those questions, where essentially the Galatians would say, well, you know, Paul is right. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt within us when we chose to have faith in Christ. It wasn't because we were obeying all of these laws. We became saved because of simple faith in Jesus Christ. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9, and we're going to camp out in these verses and answer the question, what is true faith? We're going to be looking at how faith is the entry point of Christianity. There is no other entry point. It does not matter if you've attended church all of your life. It doesn't matter how many people you have helped across the street. It doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible or how many small groups you attend or how much you serve. The entry point into Christianity is simple faith in Christ Jesus. And it is also the way that our relationship with Jesus is sustained. We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not heritage, knowledge, behavior. It's not connections or contributions. It's not your past, all the good that you've done that you think might accumulate to earn God's pleasure. And it's also not your bad past, all of the bad things you've done that you think might exclude you from God's pleasure. The entry point into a relationship with Jesus and with the Father is simple faith. So in verse 6, let's read that together. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, we're going to pick up a little bit ahead of verse 6 because it's continuing a question. But in verse 5, it says this, "So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard?" Verse 6, "Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness." Verse 7, "You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed through you.' Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith." So the reality of what God is communicating through Paul to the church at Galatia is that faith is the entry point to Christianity, and faith is the sustaining, driving reality behind our relationship with God as we completely trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And so when Paul is communicating to the Galatians, and when he says, "just like Abraham who believed God," remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the Galatians, who are a group of both Jewish Christians and also Gentile Christians. And he's telling these Gentiles, you guys are exactly the same as Jews now. It's as if you have been grafted into the family. It's like you have been adopted into this wider family. And so Paul's words were pretty explosive to these Judaizers then who had come into the church of Galatia trying to say, no, you got to become a Jew. You got to act like a Jew in order to be saved, in order to have a right relationship with God. And Paul's saying, no, they are just like us. They trust in God by simple faith also. In Hebrews 11:6, the writer of Hebrews would tell us this. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. What is it that pleases God ultimately? It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that should be good news to all of us who are here and who are watching today, is that the way that we please God, the way that we come into the kingdom of God is through simply believing and trusting in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so Paul is going to use this passage of Scripture quoting from Genesis, and we had just come through a study of Genesis last year. It's pretty significant, but Paul quotes from Genesis, and it says that Abram believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now think about the impact of this, because every Jew looked to Abraham as the father of their faith. Abraham was the beginning of the nation of Israel. And so what Paul is trying to remind the people that even all the way back in the Old Testament, faith was what made a person right with God. Faith is what made someone righteous before God. The Scriptures say, Paul is quoting to the Galatians and telling the Judaizers in Galatians, that we are just like Abraham. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abram's belief led God to say, you are right with me. It wasn't things that Abram had done. It wasn't because Abram left his home and went out searching for this promised land that God offered him. It wasn't because of any of those things. It wasn't his activities. It was the faith that produced the activities. You see, we act on what we believe, and in Abram's life, he acted on what he deeply believed, and Abram had faith in God, and as a result, God said, that makes you right before me. It's phenomenal because Paul is communicating to these Galatians and he's communicating to the Judaizers. He's saying, we are just like Abraham. You are Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, and we are saved in the same way. We're saved through simple faith. And when God sees us trust in His Son, Jesus, He makes us right with Him. All of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Now, these are pretty explosive words coming from Paul because these Judaizers would have heard Paul's word and they would have been incredibly offended. They would have said, no. These Gentiles, they have to step in and become like us. They have to be circumcised to be saved. They have to obey all the dietary laws of the Old Testament to be saved and to be approved by God. And in order to walk in right relationship with God, they have to do, and don't. And Paul would say it's faith that saves and it's faith that sustains and it's the power of God ultimately over anyone that has trusted in His Son, Jesus, that secures them eternally in His hands. Once you give your life in faith to Christ, nobody can take you from the Father's hands. So Paul, you got to remember who he was. He is a Pharisee of Pharisees. He is a Jew of Jews. He was rising in the ranks of Judaism. He was an up-and-coming young star in the Judaistic religion. And it was him who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah as this Damascus Road encounter that he had with Jesus led him to convert. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Paul would say this about his biography. He'd say, I was circumcised on the eighth day, which is when every Jewish boy was commanded to be circumcised in the law. He says, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Regarding the law, I was a Pharisee. Regarding zeal, I persecuted the church. regarding the righteousness that is in the law, I was blameless. In other words, Paul was basically saying, guys, I've been there before. I've done everything. I have the resume. I know that a person cannot be saved by seeking to adhere to a set of religious, ritualistic rules and activity. And so Paul would conclude in verse 7 of Philippians 3, everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. He would go on to say that knowing Christ Jesus as Lord was of surpassing value to anything that he had ever done or accumulated or accomplished in his life. That was knowing Christ Jesus. It was a relationship with the Lord based on God's love for him and his love for God that produced salvation in his life. So as Paul's writing to the church of Galatia and they're scratching their heads, Paul's already called them a group of idiots for leaving the gospel so quickly and attempting to add works to the gospel. Paul's trying to explain to them what makes someone a true Jew. What is true faith? How do you come into the people of God? It's not that you're a Jew biologically. And so in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, Paul would write to the church there, for a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, and true circumcision is not something visible in the flesh. On the contrary, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. That person's praise is not from people, but from God. In other words, true Jews are people who have put all of their faith and trust in Jesus. We've been adopted into the family of God. We've become spiritual Jews, so to speak. And then in 1 Corinthians 7:19, Paul would also write to the church of Corinth and say, circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. Don't brag about being circumcised, Jews, and Gentiles, don't brag about not being circumcised. That's not what matters. Keeping God's commands is what matters. And later in Galatians, when we get there in chapter 5, verse 6, Paul will say, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, who boast in Christ Jesus and don't put confidence in the flesh. And then in Colossians 3:11, Paul would say, in Christ, there is no Greek, there's not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. What Paul was attempting to say and what he said to all of the churches, not to the church of Galatia, is that what God truly wants is my heart and your heart. God wants a person who will trust him with complete faith and surrender their life to Jesus through repentance. Paul will say that the real children of God, that real Jews, real Christians, are those who put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their righteousness. They don't attempt to earn God's pleasure through their good works, but they seek to please God through a love relationship that is based completely on faith. So how does that look for us today? It's like we look at the Galatians and here's these Judaizers coming in saying, you need to be circumcised, you need to obey all the dietary laws, you need to do this, you need to do that. How does that look for us today? Because I don't think there's anyone in our churches today coming in and preaching those same bullet points. Well, I grew up in Southern Baptist churches in Arkansas, specifically in Little Rock, and went to college in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And I know we name our towns funny there, but we just like to take names of states and names of city and mash them together and come up with something that just sounds good, Arkadelphia. So I grew up going to church three times a week at least, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was in youth choir. I know that's a big surprise for Tanner and others, but I did all of the church stuff, and I was steeped in tradition. Now, my church was faithful to preach and to teach the gospel, but if I wasn't careful, and if you're not careful, if you've grown up in church all your life, it is very easy to think that the going to churchiness is what makes us pleasing to God, that we should give to the church, that we should serve the church, that we should love one another and encourage one another, and we should read our Bibles all the time, and we should dress a certain way, and our worship styles should be a certain type of worship. But it's very easy to get all the trappings of the evangelical church confused with what they're intended to point us to, and that is a love relationship with God. You hear a lot of people today say, well, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church very much. And I think what happens is they lose sight of the reality that church exists, the church is the people of God. But sometimes we all lose sight and we begin to create these lists of do's and this list of don'ts, and we seem to very easily embrace our own set of lists that we want to live by, and we forget about how important just simply trusting in Jesus day by day is. He has put His Holy Spirit within us, and as we looked at 3 weeks ago, the role of the Holy Spirit in our life is to lead us into this love relationship and to walk daily in a love relationship with God. He's promised He's going to remind us of all the things that Jesus has taught us. He's going to bring glory to Jesus. He's going to point to Jesus in our lives. So what Paul is trying to communicate to these Galatians is that real children of God are those who have faith in God, just like Abraham did. And that was in the Old Testament. Abraham came before the people ever had the law. The law was given to Moses about 400 years after Abraham. And so essentially Paul is trying to say God started this relationship with us as His people based on faith. Abram believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And that's the exact same way that God is continuing this relationship with us. So what does it look like for you to put your faith in God, to trust, to put your life into His hands, to desire God and rightness with Him above all else, to love what He loves, to love His people, to actually love His church because it's His body that He inhabits and works and lives through today? Well, in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, it says this, "Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith." Think about that for a moment. The Old Testament saw in advance that the gospel would justify me and justify you. That the Old Testament revealed that the good news was through faith in God alone. And so all along, the Old Testament has been pointing people to trust in the coming and in the promised Messiah. And so Old Testament saints were saved by faith in God, looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And we who are New Testament saints, we're saved by faith, looking back to the coming of Jesus and having faith that He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And so it's this beautiful expression in Galatians chapter 3 when it reminds us the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. That's huge. It's so significant for us because what Paul is trying to remind the Galatian church of is this gospel has been preached for millennia. God has been promising people that He would send a Messiah, and Jesus finally came. It is what all the Old Testament looked forward to. And it's what we look back to. Jesus' coming was the apex of humanity's history. Jesus' coming defines for all of us true meaning and significance in life. And Jesus' coming announced to me and announced to you and announced to all nations that we may be saved, that God loves us, and that if we trust in His sent Son, we may have eternal life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It tells us there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. You cannot be saved by trusting in Muhammad. You cannot be saved through the Quran. You cannot be saved through Mormonism. You cannot be saved as a Jehovah's Witness. If you do not trust in the revealed person of Jesus Christ, who is revealed in Scriptures, there is salvation in no other name. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, Paul would say, "For this reason, God highly exalted Jesus and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And then Jesus would say of Himself in John 14:6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." So these words that Paul is writing to the Galatians, they are pregnant with meaning. He's saying that the gospel has been preached throughout the Old Testament. God was leading people to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. That's why when John the Baptist came, one of his ministries was to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist's entire ministry was to point to Jesus, so much so that at one point in his ministry he would say, "I must decrease, He must increase." And so in verses 8 and 9 of Galatians chapter 3, it continues, it says, "Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And it proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed through you.' Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith." These verses are so rich. They point to the fact that this is a very old gospel. The gospel didn't just begin in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel has been the good news that God has had for humanity since He created humanity. And even in the words of Genesis, God promised Adam, that there would be a seed that would come that would defeat the serpent. God promised Abram that he would be the father of many nations, and that all nations on earth would be blessed through him. And ultimately, that found complete fulfillment in the person of Jesus, that whoever trusts in Jesus will be eternally blessed and made righteous before God. So the Old Testament saints are saved the same way that we are, through faith. They, in looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, we looking back to the coming of the Messiah. And so I want to share with you as we wrap up today what putting your faith in Jesus looks like on a day-to-day basis. There's 8 points that I want to hit real quickly, and they're these. Faith is a conscious decision. Faith is this decision that you make to place all of your will and heart into the hands of King Jesus. It's volitional. It involves the will. Secondly, faith is yielding. Faith surrenders your will, your heart, your life to the will of God. Thirdly, faith is joyful. The reality is that faith is not this difficult surrender. Faith is a completely joyful reality. I see on my notes there, I got things backward. But fourthly, faith is confessional. Faith is realizing that you have sinned and that you have fallen short of God's hope for you. And God's hope, God's expectation for you is to have complete faith in Him. And every time you start having faith in yourself, every time you start trying to live by your own strength, you're trying to make yourself God of your own life. And so faith confesses your sin. Faith confesses your desire to have control. It's confessional. And fifthly, faith is hopeful. Faith looks forward to God's promises. It trusts in God's promises. Six, faith is forever. When you step into a love relationship with Jesus through faith, you are secured in God's hands forever. Seventh, faith is daily. Scripture tells us and reminds us that God's mercies are new every single day, that we are to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. And so faith means you wake up every day and you renew your confession before God. It doesn't mean that you don't belong to Him anymore, but it means for your own mind and your own heart, you renew that daily. And then lastly, faith is exclusive. There's faith in no one else. There's faith in nothing else. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. So I want to invite you today to consider where you are in your faith walk with King Jesus. I want to invite you to consider whether you have been completely trusting in Him for hope and love and peace and joy, whether you've been walking in fellowship with Him or not. And for those of you who are watching and you may have never trusted, you've never placed your faith in King Jesus, it's our prayer, even right now before we move back into a time of giving and worship, it is our prayer that you would do so, that you would release your life into a love relationship with the Father, repenting of your selfishness and sins like the rest of us have done, and placing all of your faith in King Jesus.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.